Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome to Spiritual Conversation, honest and joyful explorations of ideas to help us align with our true spiritual purpose and live our best lives. I am your host, Jacqueline Claire, Mermaid of the Airwaves, here to take your hand and go on some deep dives together. Hey there, welcome back to the series on the Enneagram and the Baha'i Faith, Baha'i perspective on the Enneagram. Developing virtues is our focus. Unlocking personality to transcend the self. And in this session, I will be giving an overview, a psychological overview of all 9 Enneagram types. So I really hope you'll come away from this with a better understanding of what your unique type is. And in the next session, there will be a focus on the virtues of each type. And after that, we'll focus on how to use all this knowledge and specifically the virtues to really maximize your growth and also your appreciation of others and your ability to like maximize other people's contributions. So today is a psychological overview, and I just want to remind you that this isn't a parlor game. You know, as we go through the different Enneagram types, you'll likely recognize other people in your life as well. And again, at some point, I think that's really helpful to be able to understand other people's types. You will better understand where they're coming from, what they're aiming for, what they really need, what they have to contribute. But it's not to be like, oh, you're such a this and you're such a that and I've got you all figured out. You know, let's start with yourself. Start with identifying your unique type and what your innate strengths and weaknesses are, and how knowing that can help you focus on your best direction of health. Okay? Once again, there is no hierarchy. Just because one is called 1 and another is called 8, it doesn't mean that 1 is better than 8 or anything like that. All the types have good and bad qualities, which you will soon learn, and all of the types sort of interplay with each other. So we will also be getting into that more in the next 2 sessions. Alrighty, so let us start with the 1, the reformer, the realist, the idealist. The 1 is all about principle. They have a very strong sense of judgment. If I were to choose an archetype, it would probably be just a classic old-fashioned judge with a wig on. They have a strong sense of evaluation. Basically, they believe in this sort of platonic sense of perfection. They're perfectionists from the inside out. It isn't necessarily that they want to be seen as perfect. It's that they truly, on some level, believe there is a perfect way to do things. There is a perfect order of things, and they're constantly sort of evaluating whether that's being upheld. So they're very hard on themselves. They, you know, some phrases you might relate to if you're a 1 is that you're really critical of yourself when you make a mistake, or you sort of see the mistake in, you know, a presentation you make or something. Like, one mistake can ruin the whole thing. You put a lot of work into correcting your own faults, and you believe other people should do the same, you know? And you definitely believe that there's like a right way to do things. And ones often are like accountants, you know, they have a strong sense of numbers. Like, there's no nuance here. It's very clear, right or wrong, black or white, you know, strong sense of rules, not for rules in and of themselves, but in that sense of propriety and structure and that sort of thing. Yeah. So again, archetypes, the judge, the accountant, the sort of prim math teacher. You know, like, there is a proper way to do it. There's a bit of a, it can be sort of puritanical too. So that is an overview of the one. You might be a one if your answers to the first questions that I ask you, remember the questions were, what is a virtue that you feel you're strong in? What do you feel if everyone would just do this one thing, it'd make the world a better place? And what virtue do you secretly think you need to work on? You might be a one if your answer to the first question was, I have a strong sense of justice. I have a strong sense of fairness. I have, where other people seem to kind of hum and haw, I have a very clear sense of right and wrong. I'm very methodical. I'm very reliable. And what would make the world a better place would be if other people were like that, if other people took responsibility for themselves, if other people were accountable, if other people worked on their own faults, if people had a strong sense of right and wrong. And what you might secretly feel like you need to work on is, maybe lessening your sense of judgment. Like, I think I'd be happier if I wasn't so programmed to always be judging a situation. Just an example. Depends on your level of self-awareness as well. So let's move to type two. Type two is all about love. Love is like their favorite word. Twos are caregivers, the helper, the nurturer. Just all about the feels and all about taking care of other people. Twos are very tuned in to particularly the emotional needs of people around them. So can be very affectionate, can be very flattering. Just, the person who wants to be there for you. The flip side, and of course all of these types have flip sides, is that because that is such a strong light, that's such a great quality that obviously the world needs, twos can really struggle to be self-aware. They don't realize that they are a human being with needs as well, and that sometimes when they give, there is an unspoken expectation of return. And again, they give and they give so much. But on some level, they want affection and love and loyalty back, And that is that's the flip side of that. Also, all of these personality constructs are essentially ego, every single one of these nine Enneagram types. And I love the definition of ego, which is edging God out. So all of the ways that we lead in the world, on some level, or taken to excess, or acted upon without self-awareness, can be ways that we actually separate ourselves from God and from other people. And for the two, because they so want to care and give and love and be kind, because their ego is invested in that. If someone else they perceive as being more kind, it bothers them because they're the kindest person in the room, So some archetypes of the two definitely, the mother, a great mother or a really bad, malicious, overprotective, overbearing mother, just the nurturer. Maybe a nurse, someone whose profession is to care and to give, a social worker. Social worker is probably a good example of a two with a one wing. So, all about giving, but they also have this strong sense of judgment, right, wrong, proper way to do things. So, you might be a two if you relate to statements like, a lot of people depend on my care and generosity. Emotional issues are really important for me. I love to be there for people. I tend to be there for people more than others. And maybe on some level, like, people don't appreciate how much I give enough. And you also might be a two if your answer to the question, what would make the world a better place, was something like if people were empaths, if people were more loving, if people chose love over fear, if people took care of other people, if people just gave more hugs, the world would be a better place. So that's an overview of type two. Moving to type three. Type three is the motivator, the performer, the role model, the paragon. Threes are great at projection. So, whatever their culture admires, threes like to be that. They like to reflect that back. And depending on their level of psychological and spiritual health, depends on how genuine that is or not. But they're like great at like marketing and again being performers. Like they project. They're good at like packaging and projecting a certain image. They can be very hard workers. They are also very tuned in to those around them. But whereas the two is tuned into the emotional needs, the three is tuned in to what the group wants and what the group respects and admires, and those kinds of things. And some archetypes would definitely be the motivational speaker, Tony Robbins, like, I'm here to give you that sense of motivation and to inspire you to be excellent, like the army, be all you can be. Also, performers of all kinds, and again, it could be, a Cardi B, someone who's like really licentious, and that's what they're projecting for, that's what their audience wants. Or it could be someone, who is like very mindful and does yoga on mountaintops and twists into pretzels and, sort of is this representation of, how fit and serene and wonderful you can be, Lady Gaga's song, Applause, I live for the applause. Like, that's very three. The Persian doctor, like just whatever your milieu admires. And threes are very much celebrated in Western culture. We love to have somebody up on a stage and we love to admire them and clap for them. And they love to be clapped for, Again, on the flip side, because they're so good at projecting, it can very much be at the cost of their own development as a real person. And that also breeds an insecurity. They don't like people to get too close. They're afraid of that sort of intimacy. So, then they try to compensate by projecting more and more. But there's less and less there. Kind of like the Wizard of Oz, they don't want you to know that the big booming magical voice is just the little man behind the curtain, But again, all of these have good and bad sides. It just depends on your level of awareness and spiritual and psychological health. You might relate to some statements if you're a three, like, I like to keep myself on the go, success. And winning and doing things right are really important to me. I like to motivate and inspire other people. I'm okay being the center of attention. I'm okay being an example for other people. In fact, that's motivating for me. And your answer to what would make the world a better place if you're three, it might have been if people would be all they could be, if people would follow their passion and do the profession that they actually want to do. And yeah, I really keep thinking of that army, just be all you can be, if people would just do that, then the world would be a better place. If they lived up to their highest capacity, the world would be a better place. So the four is the artist type. And again, you don't have to be of Enneagram type four to be creative, but the four really represents that archetypal artist who can be a loner or at least see themselves as a loner, who is emotional, who's melancholy, who's actually kind of attracted to things that other people might see as morbid, the drama of life, birth, sex, intensity, death, as we smoke a cigarette and wear a beret, like the four lives in that emotional, dramatic world. And for the did I say four? I'm talking about the four. The four is very committed to truthfulness. Truth and beauty, honesty, being real. These are very important. The ironic thing is, because they're so committed to honesty, the one is very honest too, by the way, in like a principled way, and harshly so sometimes, because it's the principle of the thing. The four is like emotionally honest and like, well, that's how I feel, so I'm gonna say it, and you should too. And but the irony is that because they're trying so hard to be honest and be authentic, it can actually be a little affectatious, because they're just trying too hard to reveal their soul to you. But very creative, strong sense of aesthetics and beauty. And you might be a four if, your physical environment is very important to you. If you put a lot of care into, your home, and also like how you dress, and not in a three-ish way, not that you're trying to project status or desirability, it's just for the art of it. You want how you move in the world to represent your soul, Or you might be a four if you feel that most people don't appreciate the beauty of life the way you do. Most people don't feel as deeply as you do. If you really have a hard time getting over heartache and loss, and you feel like you have a harder time than other people, you just kind of live in that emotional world. And you might be a four if your answer to what would make the world a better place was if people would just be honest, people would be real, if people would tell the truth, if people cultivated more beauty in their life, if people appreciated the beauty of life, if people would be creative and think for themselves, you might be a four. So the next type is the five, the scientists, the theorists, the researcher, the thinker. The fives very much live in their own heads, and their head is like this citadel that both protects them. So they're inside their head, and it's this workshop. They're always thinking and theorizing, and they look out at you, maybe through a telescope, and they like to analyze you, but from the protection of their mind. And they can be like the socially inept oddball. They don't even realize or frankly care how odd they might come across in a social context, because they're in their citadel peering out at you. And I think of Einstein, that crazy hair, and he don't care because he's thinking about E=mc², and he's innovating, and he's like in that workshop of his mind. So fives really go down the rabbit hole. You might not ever see them again. And we'll get more into this in the virtues session, but they're really striving for a sense of certainty. And obviously they can be great at, representations of wisdom and knowledge because of that commitment. Of course, the flip side is they can be very hard to get close to. They think too much. They can, when it's not in the context of a gift to humanity, figuring things out. If it's just their blankie, like, well, let me think about this a little longer, 50 years later, and maybe I'll be willing to marry that person. I need to think about it a little longer. So you might be a five if you definitely feel distant from other people and you like to figure things out before you take action. I really need to think about this. And you like to analyze things, and small talk is not your thing. Like, you don't get it, all right, at all. A lot of scholars are fives. They kind of go hand in hand, and that would be the archetype for me. Sherlock Holmes, a detective, Einstein, scholars. I also think of Bob Dylan. I'm pretty sure he's a four. He's the artist type, but he has a strong five wing. You notice the similarity with the hair. You get where I'm going with this? But he has this strong innovative quality, and there's a little social oddball in there because he's innovating new cool ways to express himself and whatever. So the innovator, the rabbit hole. And you might be a five if your answer to what would make the world a better place was if people would think before they spoke, if people would be certain from the inside out, if people focus on their inner life, their own spiritual life, if they deepened in their sacred texts before they went out and did social action and ran their mouth. If people would just understand things more before they externalized them. And again, if people had certainty over blind faith or inner knowing, inner experience, as opposed to just like aligning with an ideology and running with it. It's a little abstract, but I think if you're a five, you live in that abstract world, and I think you'll relate to that. So the next type is the six. So though our Western culture celebrates the three, the six is actually the most common type. So if you go through this whole thing and you're like, I don't know what type I am, give extra attention to the six because that is the most common type. So the six is the loyalist, the team player. Sixes like to be part of a group. They have an ambiguous but very important relationship and dynamic with authority. Whether that authority is God, whether it is your country and the rule of law and the president, or your father, or whoever is like the authority of your milieu. And sixes, they have like a love-hate with that authority, but they tend to be very, have a strong sense of allegiance nonetheless. And they really like to commit themselves to an authority and take shelter in the group, So like someone in the military, the army, like you there's a sense of hierarchy and there is an authority, and you are a member of a group. And sixes don't particularly like to stand out at all. They want to blend in and play their part in the service of the group, in the service of a cause. And though they do have inner ambivalence and they have a lot of inner fear because, like, can I trust authority? I love, I hate, I love, I hate. They sort of soothe that inner ambivalence about whether or not their environment is friendly by taking shelter in the group. And archetypes again, someone in the military, the army, some branch that has a like a sense of coalition. Nurses. I mentioned nurses with two because of caretaking, but also when there's like a camaraderie and a coalition, and we're a team. And sports are a great example of sixmanship. They really commit themselves, and their loyalty is to the group, and they work well as a member of that group. But it can be sports, it could be the church or your religion. It could be your particular rock and roll aesthetic. It can be the hospital, it can be medicine, it could be the school that you work at. Again, there's different ways that these qualities can be expressed, but if you are a six, you will probably relate to some of this. Sixes might relate to statements like, I'm basically a middle of the road person, I'm just a normal person, just like everyone else. People used to say that to me when I worked at Auto Show. I'd ask if they have any questions or if I could help them, and their response would be like, oh, I'm just looking around just like everyone else. And like the fact that they immediately, the first thing they say to a new person is they're blending in an allegiance to a group. Oh, no, I'm just in the group. Don't look at me. It doesn't mean that they're shy. It just means that their sense of identity is strongly tied to the fabric of humanity or the fabric of their group. So I'm basically a middle of the road person. I don't like to stand out, but I work really hard as a team. I love to commit myself to a cause. And we'll get more into this in the virtues, but sixes can be very self-sacrificing, and not in the way of the two that's like, mama giving you a hug. It's like they will be the pebble that is walked on the path to a higher goal. They're just really willing to be loyal team member, help build the tower or whatever by standing on my shoulder, and I'll just be there as a member of this group to help. So you might be a six if your answer to what would make the world a better place was something like, if people would just be obedient, if people would just follow the law, if people would work as a team, if people would make the extra effort to listen to each other, whatever, to be able to gel as a team, if people were less concerned with their personal gain and would commit themselves to the betterment of the whole world, you might be a six. Enneagram six. Okay, so the seven is the enthusiast. They are full of energy, they're full of hilarity, they're full of storytelling. Sevens always want to be having a good time, and they want to inspire that good time in other people. And of course, the flip side of that is that they're always trying to avoid pain. Let's have a good time. Let's be happy. Let's, do fun things, because they're running from pain and quiet and solitude. But they're great fun to be around. Again, they give that sense of joy and fun to other people. They're very high energy. They use a lot of exclamation marks in their communication. And archetypes I think of like a comedian, there's that core of pain, but they want to be having a good time, and they know how to spark that hilarity in you, and they can help you see the fun and the ridiculousness in life. I think of a flamethrower, I think of a Chris Farley, someone who just like can't get enough life, And he's a great example of the dark side of the seven, is not only that they're running from pain, running from pain, running from pain, a Keith Moon, but they can, for that reason, and because they so want to be having fun all the time and just like experiencing joy and pleasure and a good time, that can lead to excess. So sevens have the greatest trouble with excess. You can't be having fun all the time, and you can't be eating an ice cream cone or doing cocaine all the time. Like, there are limits. So it's the good and the bad of the seven. But again, great fun to be around, really bring that joy out in other people. And once you know this, and you know how to measure your gifts and know your direction of health, sevens are just such gifts to the world, And sevens, some statements a seven might relate to is like, if a little bit of is good, then a lot is better, you know? And I want people to see me as happy. Sevens also have a pretty gracious attitude towards other people. Like, they're not very suspicious. They really kind of take people at face value and like, hey, you want to be my friend? Let's go to the mall together. Yeah, those are some quotes that a seven might relate to. And you might be a seven if your answer to what would make the world a better place was something like, if people would be happy, if people would just have a good time, if people would enjoy life more, if people would, you know, just jump out of an airplane or eat some chocolate, like if people would just relax and, you know, relax but also like thrill themselves, that maybe it would make the world a better place. If people would like be more friendly, you know, if people had easier friendships, the world would be a better place. So the next type is the eight. Eight is the fighter, the leader, the combatant, the boss, you know? And eights are all about strength and power and will, you know? And a lot of people struggle with the eights, and I'll mention this a few times, because the eights are aggressive and they can sense your weakness and they can purposely pick on you. You know, the eight can be a bully, but also sometimes it's just like playful. When they push you, they're not trying to dominate you. They want you to push them back. They want to tussle with you. They want to play. It's an expression of intimacy for them. And if you're not going to play, then sure, they'll dominate you, you know? But if you fight back, they'll respect you, you know? And a lot of people don't understand this because eight is not a real common type, and most people aren't, aren't extroverted with their aggression. So it's like, oh my gosh, this person is mean or dominating or they're a bully, whatever. Or you don't have it in you to like want to fight back, and that's really what the eight is after. But the eight is a tremendous leader. Classic old-fashioned ideas of courage and valor and fighting for a cause and, you know, very protective, you know. It's really great to have an eight in your corner, you know, because they will defend you and protect you and fight till the bitter end, you know. And you might be an eight if you relate to statements like, most people create their own problems. Most people create problems by being indecisive or wallowing in their emotional life. I'm a very decisive person. I like to take charge. I like to get things done. I like to see things through. These are statements an eight might relate to. You might be an eight if your answer to what would make the world a better place was if people stood up for what they believed in. If people actually put action to their beliefs, if they actually defended the oppressed, et cetera, et cetera. Last type is the nine. The nine is the peacemaker. They are all about tranquility and unity. They can be very ambivalent, and that could be bad. It could be frustrating. Like, well, what difference does it really make? I'm just gonna go take a nap. But they can also be wonderful mediators. They can help inspire that unity and peacefulness in other people. I've had a lot of friends that are nines. Like, they're really nice to be around because they're just so relaxing and chill and patient. Similar to the five that isn't fully here because they're living in their head. The nine isn't here because they're sunbathing on a cloud somewhere in La La Land, you know? So, very chill, very peaceful. Ironically, they can tend to narcotinize because it's kind of like peace at all costs. You know, they have very low tolerance for not peace, and they, yeah, so they'll do anything to maintain their peace. And it can be very frustrating for other people because it's like, oh, we were supposed to leave, 10 minutes ago or an hour ago. And it's like, oh, really? But again, wonderful vibe of not taking life too seriously and seeing all sides of something, and we can work it out, just be patient and it'll work out. It'll work out itself. You might be a nine if you relate to, why stand when I can sit and why sit when I can lie down? Also, if you feel that most people get too worked up about things, that t things tend to work themselves out. Nines also have an issue with passive aggression. They won't confront you, but they'll get back at you by forgetting your birthday or, dropping the ball in some way. And nines tend to wait till the last minute to do things because that little extra bit of fire, that pressure actually helps them accomplish things. Nines can inspire a lot of frustration in other people, and they also can tend to be in relationships that are like with somewhat volatile people or dramatic people, because that actually helps them feel more alive, because it kind of brings them down from their sunbathing on the cloud to like engage with life. So it's kind of interesting thing. But again, when they're healthy, they're just bringers of peace and mediation and tranquility and unity to the group. And you might be a nine if you took 3 years to come watch this video. If you were like, oh, that sounds really interesting, I'll get to it one day, and you're here 3 years later. You might be a nine if you feel the world would be a better place if people would just see themselves as one human family, if people would just recognize their interconnectedness, and if people would not take life too seriously, if people would just be more patient. If people would just prioritize peace. So that's the psychological overview of all nine Enneagram types, and I hope you have a better idea what your unique type is. And in the next video, the next session, we'll be getting into the virtues and the gifts to humanity of each type and how to make the most of that. Hey, podcast listener, I hope you enjoyed that. I will be releasing this series throughout the week. Plus, if you would like some visuals to help you understand, you might want to check out this series on YouTube. My page is Jacqueline-Claire, or linked in the show notes to watch the video version of this series. If you want to do one-on-one coaching on Enneagram or sort of spiritual growth in general, I do offer that on my website. Sometimes just talking to someone who gets it and can help you see the parts that you're missing and connect the dots can do so much for liberating our emotional energy and our goals. So definitely consider that. There are links below in the show notes for that, as well as my art and creativity coaching and my soul nourishing spiritual realism fine art. If you would like some mystical pieces to bring into your home or to give as gifts in the form of prints. Lastly, in the show notes, you will find a link to my Patreon community if you would like to support my work and be a part of everything that I make. Thanks so much for listening.